Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. In today's episode, Lynn Berstow and Israel Munoz go over some of the key insights from the five most recent recordings. We hope you enjoy. It is meant to provide a quick summary for the listener. And as a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only.
I do think we are at the point where there is going to be that transition to it being worthwhile to invest in picks and shovels businesses in Bitcoin. So if you are an entrepreneur, I think it is a good time to think about what services could you build. People always get caught up on like this idea. I've heard it so many times.
History is learning this history. Your house always goes up in value and you didn't realize that it's actually your currency going down in value. That would be really easy to believe rather than this new thing that imposed a different reality.
I would like to see, you know, the Lightning Network be a high performance and efficient payment system, you know, for the world. Yeah, that's building off of Bitcoin. That is, you know, to me, it's freedom money. It's also extremely ruthlessly neutral.
Not bury the lead. We think Bitcoin is fundamentally just the best money that humans have ever seen. The market is giving us this opportunity of you've got 60 plus billion dollars of venture money that's allocated into crypto, and less than a billion of that is into Bitcoin.
The security, it's the only one with the liquidity. It's the only one with the proven track record of, you know, 10 years, 100% uptime. If there's any data guy out there, they know how incredible this is.
Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. We're doing another highlights episode today where we want to summarize the previous five episodes, the content, what they were about, and share some of Lynn and I's thoughts. I'm co-host Israel Munoz. Lynn?
Yeah, thank you, Israel. I'm Lynn Berstow, co-host. And what we found was after we had recorded our first five episodes, we did this highlight reel, which just kind of recaps some of the key points that we found in the interviews and similarities or concepts that were exchanged between the interviews too. And the feedback we got was really strong. People loved it because they said it was an easier way to find out which podcast they wanted to listen to or which one might be, you know, have something that was more of interest to them. So we're going to make a habit of it. And every five episodes, we're going to jump in and do a little highlight reel so that it's an easy way to kind of get up to date on who we've been speaking with, what the key core concepts of the conversations are, so that you can select which episodes are worth your time to listen to.
Okay, so this highlights episode, we cover episode 7 through 11, right, Lynn? So we have episode 7 with Vijay Boyapati, episode 8 with Jeff Booth from Ego Death Capital, episode 9 with Jesse Schrader with Amboss Technologies, episode 10 with Cantilever, episode 11 with Jose Lemos from Ibex. So we have a mix of, what, 3 investors, 2 startups there? Maybe we can start with episode 7. So Vijay Boyapati, you want to maybe kick that one off, Lynn, what that was about?
Sure. Yeah, and I met up with Vijay at the Portland Bitcoin event, Bitcoin is for Everyone. And Vijay, we were talking about the podcast, and he said, oh, I'd love to be on it. And I, you know, we actually talked about where he would fit because he does not have a startup. He's an author of a book. He's a thought leader. And it turns out he's an angel investor. So that's where we kind of focused the conversation, was his angel investing. But as we talked to Vijay, I think that episode has just been super popular and has gotten great feedback because Vijay started his career. He's an engineer in machine learning with Google when it was a startup. And so he has a perspective of growing a company from a really early stage to an incredibly successful world-renowned company, and then stepping off of that and having some startups himself and really being deep in the ethos of Silicon Valley. So his perspective was just so beautiful to see, you know, where he came from, being part of Google, being part of a Y Combinator startup company, getting introduced to Bitcoin, even in those early days, watching how Bitcoin exploded, now supporting the ecosystem by investing in companies that are building with Bitcoin. And the conversation ranges quite a bit in, you know, why do you invest in a startup that's working with Bitcoin instead of the Bitcoin asset itself and his takes on that, what makes a great founding team, what makes a successful startup. So the conversation, I think, just had a lot of nuggets inside of it that, you know, I really enjoyed listening to it even after we were done with the conversation. So Vijay is just a terrific person. And, you know, I think any startup that is working in the space should really take a listen to that. So how about you, Israel? What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed recording that one with Vijay as well. And for anyone listening that's particularly interested in the angel investing side of the space, I think Vijay is a very interesting conversation. I mean, what I got out of Vijay was his very high energy you can just tell he has, you know, a huge liking for the early stage of a company, right? And it likely has to do with his background, like you mentioned, Lynn. So he watched Google go from startup to a mature company. And since then, a whole set of series of events that has kept him in the early stage startup world, right? So he invests specifically pre-seed, right? So he's an angel investor with being one of the first checks in to an early stage startup. So he has a very unique perspective into, you know, early stage Bitcoin companies. He talks a lot about how he views Bitcoin as quite de-risked now since its early days, and how for him, and it has, again, a lot to do with his particular passion, but for him right now, one of the most interesting aspects of Bitcoin is precisely now Bitcoin companies, not necessarily the asset, because he views this as such an opportunistic, you know, stage to be investing in. And he talks about how some of the biggest companies in the world will be Bitcoin companies, and they're, for the most part, yet to be seen. So, excellent episode for early stage.
Yeah, the picks and shovel analogy that I love, like in Gold Rush, you want to be investing in the picks and shovels and not necessarily taking the risk of investing in finding gold. And he said, up until this point, probably it made more sense from a financial standpoint to buy Bitcoin and hold it itself. But we're now at that inflection point where the biggest opportunities going forward will be those companies that are becoming the picks and shovels of the Bitcoin ecosystem. And so it's a great time to consider investing. And I loved that, the kind of visual of that.
Yeah. And he does mention that point precisely, right? Which is interesting how he said, you know, maybe just even a short few years ago, in his mind, the risk reward wasn't there for investing in Bitcoin companies as opposed to the asset. And now he sees that, you know, as very much present, right? He sees those high digit returns being more so on the Bitcoin company side, not necessarily the asset, even though he still, of course, has a very bullish take on Bitcoin.
Yeah. And one of the things too that, you know, as we get into our next guest, Jeff, and some of the others, you know, one of the conversations in Israel, you're always asking about what is the perspective from an investor about holding Bitcoin as an asset as a treasury asset versus just, you know, being in there. And Vijay tells a story about when he was in Y Combinator, and he and his partner, his co-founder, actually thought about starting a Bitcoin business back in those days. I think it was like 2013. And he said if they'd taken the $150,000 that Y Combinator had given them as part of the investment and put it into Bitcoin, that they would never need to raise another round. And so this is a continuing theme in the conversations that we had over these last five episodes was the fact that companies that are building with Bitcoin and also hold some Bitcoin can perhaps eliminate the need for later stage rounds. And that's something that we've never really seen in early startup investing. And so it just kind of changes the dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a theme that we keep hearing. I mean, you're right, Lynn. I have been bringing it up quite a bit, but it is interesting to see how there's investors at different stages of a startup that are also speaking to this, right? How this is going to change drastically how a company is funded and, you know, diluted or not. So yeah, I mean, Jeff, the next episode, so episode 8 was with Jeff Booth from EcoDebt Capital. He spoke a little to that as well. Jeff Booth, I think, you know, many people might be familiar with some of his work. He's also an author, a very successful entrepreneur. He understands technologies from basic principles approach, and he's created quite a name for himself in the Bitcoin space. Rightfully so, because I mean, he's a great communicator. That's one thing I definitely learned from interviewing Jeff with you, Lynn. I mean, he has a way of being able to communicate some of these complexities that are involved in Bitcoin and the changes we're going through in society in a way that's relatable to basically anyone, right? Even if you're not too familiar with Bitcoin and how it works or what it is. So I think Jeff's is definitely a must listen. Lynn, what would you summarize from Jeff's interview? There's lots there.
Well, and I mentioned to you, I listened to it again yesterday, and I think I'm going to just listen to that once a month, because he just has so much knowledge he drops in that episode, both in terms of why Bitcoin is so important from a global perspective of fixing the money. And that's how he came to Bitcoin, was just seeing this disconnect from technology, creating all these efficiencies and improving, which would naturally cause deflationary pricing. But yet seeing inflation kick off. So he went on this journey and discovered Bitcoin. And then his journey, as he explains it, he just realized that if he was really as much of a believer in Bitcoin as he was, there was a disconnect in spending time outside of the system instead of fully investing himself inside of the system. That's how he started Ecotech Capital, which is a venture fund investing in early stage Bitcoin companies. And now that they've had some success, and it's only been a short amount of time, but he says that the companies are growing so quickly and the valuations are going up so high, but they don't need another round in many of these companies. But they're raising a new fund that will invest in Series A companies. And so this kind of helps companies that are growing rapidly to continue that path of growth. You know, one of the things, I mean, being a former VC myself, it's like, I love how he talks about how he and Jack Bursey were having these conversations about how Bitcoin really remakes the entire system by shifting the values, and that a venture capitalist now really needs to support the entrepreneur. I loved his perspective about really being, you know, being sensitive to the entrepreneur, being supportive of them, viewing it not as a short-term quick hit, make a buck and get out, but to have a long-term journey with this company, with this individual, with the founders, and to treat them with enormous amount of respect and be as supportive as they can. So it's kind of like relearning VC, because we've seen kind of a lot of abuses in that system. I know, having been in it and just hearing the feedback from a lot of the founders about how they've just been not treated with respect from venture capitalists when really they are the ones putting it all on the line. And I just love that perspective of Jeff of shifting that and really being supportive in a long-term journey with the entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also a topic that's, worth listening to is the relationship between the venture capitalist or investor and the early stage entrepreneur. So Jeff talks through why they do it, but more broadly even than the actual, you know, specifics on how they invest, the why, right? I mean, I think to me that's what Jeff does a very amazing job at doing. He talks through his entire transition and how he was critical of Bitcoin in the beginning, as I mean, I think just all of us should be when you're getting into any new topic, that especially one that's so complex. And he kind of, you know, does just a great job explaining to us how he looked at it first, trying to break it, right? In a way, I mean, trying to poke the holes and see, okay, where can this go wrong? Because it most of these new technologies do have these vulnerabilities, right? So he has a very good first principles mind and judgment on these things, and just does a great job explaining, you know, why, where there is manipulation and vulnerabilities that will happen. So the fact that he, after so many hours dedicating study and time to this space, he found that Bitcoin is going to continue to become more decentralized and secure, that's when he goes all in, right? And why he views that investments in a in an honest system as just such a better use of his time, so opportunistic.
Now, he does have such a beautiful way of taking a big picture approach to it. And this is what I love. I think anybody who's interested in the venture capital, even stock market perspective of what it, you know, if we're looking at a kind of an emerging financial system, what that might look at. And even talking about exits, that in this new system based on a Bitcoin standard, that it's unlikely that we'll have exits on stock markets saying we do, but those really successful companies that come that are building with Bitcoin will end up having Bitcoin as part of their treasury. They'll be earning in Bitcoin. And so they'll distribute Bitcoin almost as a super utility that pays a dividend. And this is an old way of thinking, like the utility company used to be really prime investments in the stock market, and you did it for the ongoing cash flow. But if Bitcoin becomes this precious asset in the future, and you own a company that distributes more their earnings in Bitcoin to you, and you have a chance of earning more Bitcoin, that's the company that you're going to want to be an investor in. And you know, he just talks about the fact that he's shocked that more VCs or more investors aren't seeing that perspective yet and aren't gravitating to it. So it's still a great time to be an early stage VC in the space. And yeah, anyone who's interested in it, I think it's got so much in there to really shift your mindset on how you think about investing in the space and why it's such a great time.
And as a final note, but also he does speak to the results, right? So this isn't a thesis anymore. He does speak to the fact that their thesis is proving to be correct. They're seeing incredible results from these early investments in Bitcoin companies. And like you mentioned, Lynn, some, you know, very profitable success cases. So definitely worth a listen to that one, episode 8. The next one was episode 9 with Jesse Schrader from Amboss Technologies. So this is from the startup entrepreneur side. Jesse was a first-time entrepreneur. He has a pretty interesting backstory on you know, how he got into Bitcoin. I'll leave the specifics to the episode if you're interested. But he draws some parallels between some experience he had in working with traffic systems and how he views everything they're doing with providing liquidity and visibility in the Lightning Network. So, you know, he draws some interesting parallels to how basically you need to identify the best routes, right, to reach your destination in traffic and in payments. So Jesse is also very passionate about what they're doing at Amboss. That comes through. I mean, to me, there's a lot to that conversation, and some of it is quite technical. So I'll just kind of leave it broadly as this episode was about Amboss Technologies, who is working on liquidity and visibility on a layer 2 solution or a scaling solution to Bitcoin payments. And to me, the biggest takeaway, Lynn, there is a lot of work going into the scaling solution. He shared one of those statistics with us, which I think was improving reliability from, I think it was 27% to 90% in their early results, which all that to say, this technology is very close to, I think, just maybe reaching a next level of adoption and scalability. So very interesting there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think one of the messages that really came through for me was, you know, beyond the technology, it's like, here's somebody who didn't have a background in entrepreneurship, but was really interested in using Bitcoin and Lightning, and then ended up meeting a technical co-founder. And together, they're creating solutions for Lightning to improve its reliability, its scalability, and the tools that surround it so that more individuals and companies can use it with greater reliability. And it shows that, you know, we're in early days, and a lot of people, if you're in this space, you know, just think of the pain points and you can start a company. He also shares, I think, some great tips on how he got funding. He's got some great funders on his cap table in addition to Bitcoin-centric VCs like Stillmark. He also has some more traditional VCs like Draper and Mallard Ventures that have expanded into the space, but are not solely in the space. They're early stage tech investors. And so I think that's a message of optimism for somebody who's raising. If you're playing in the space, you really have an opportunity to do it. But also talked about the challenges of, you know, explaining what the value proposition is of the company plus the value proposition of Bitcoin for an early founder. But, you know, he also talks about the fact that you know, the opportunities in this space are really in the very early stage, because as companies grow, as they increase their corporate treasury in Bitcoin, or as they just accumulate more Bitcoin as part of their operations and cash flow, they're unlikely to need a lot of later stage funding rounds. So that's a message that we're hearing that's totally different than what you hear in traditional tech. So I love that conversation. Jesse's just a really, just a great spirit. I just love his enthusiasm and, you know, moving to Nashville to be closer and more plugged into the ecosystem there, which shows the importance of hubs emerging where you have this concentration of founders that support one another and share ideas and work together. It just kind of is reminiscent of the really early days of Silicon Valley and what makes these hubs work so well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think you summarized that one perfectly, Lynn. If you want to kind of hear some of those pros, cons, opportunities, challenges of a first-time entrepreneur in this space with a clear mission, and some of the things that he speaks to regarding his investors and how it was very important to have strategic investors on the cap table, great episode to listen to. That's episode 9. The next one was episode 10 with Cantilever. Lynn, what would you say the summaries are for Cantilever?
Well, Cantilever is another investor, and they're a little bit different because they invest not only in Bitcoin companies, but also in the funds that are investing in the Bitcoin companies. So I look at Brendan and John, the co-founding partners of Cantilever, as really having a beautiful perspective, like one maybe a step above even the VCs, because they're looking at individual companies and the investors that are investing in the companies. So they see the overall activity, and they're just, you know, they both come from more traditional finance backgrounds and have just a great perspective of the importance of the changing monetary system. They've also invested in the broader crypto space originally and then just kind of scaled that back. I think I loved the things that John was saying about, you know, as they were on calls with both investment firms and individual companies talking to it, he just saw the seriousness and the dedication that the Bitcoin founders have in creating this new monetary reality, and just felt those are the founders that they wanted to support. So that's when they really made the decision to emphasize more Bitcoin companies than other companies, although admittedly, you know, talking about stable coins is coming out of the quote-unquote crypto space as being an important development, that there are innovations that occur in different aspects of it. And I just love their broad approach, and I think that their perspective is not so narrow. Sometimes in the Bitcoin space, we get so focused in on, you know, and don't see outside of our bubbles. So having conversations with John and Brendan, who really take the step back, look broadly at it, and just share some incredible insights. And we're going to be really excited to have them on a regular basis to just kind of share their perspectives of what they're seeing, both in innovation among founders, as well as what the trajectory is in terms of opportunities in the overall space, how much money is going into supporting this ecosystem. How about you, Israel? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you well summarized there. Anyone interested in that broader view from someone who comes from traditional finance, who came at this without knowing necessarily what the differences might be between Bitcoin and crypto companies, this is a great episode to listen to. And as you're mentioning, Lynn, they have, you know, they have a unique perspective in that they're investing in a variety of fund managers. So it's a broader view, and that comes through in some of the conversation. They tend to look at and speak to more of the macro and geopolitical behind this. So yeah, that's a great episode for anyone interested in some of those topics. Highly recommended as well.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I like to draw, you know, it's interesting to hear their conclusions and also along with Jeff Booth's conclusions about the state of the market itself, that when they look at the amount of money that's being invested in the Bitcoin founder space versus the broader crypto space or tech in general, it's such a small amount today. And both of these conversations express this just really disbelief that so many people are missing the opportunity of the Bitcoin companies, and that there's really a window of opportunity, I think, to be supportive of these companies. And just especially with the the results that they're seeing in the early stages of some of these companies versus Web3, crypto, and general tech. So those are some great messages that we heard from both of those investors.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, kind of commonalities of all three of the investors in this case, right? I mean, I think it, one thing that was clear to me was the very precise conviction of, after having studied it for, you know, hundreds of hours, they've come to their own conclusion that this is the best money, this is the most sound monetary network, and things will continue to gravitate towards this. So, I mean, they've come to their conclusion on that. I think anyone new to the space should come at their own conclusions, you know, maybe question that thesis, critique it, and, you know, come to your own thoughts after you've studied it. But these are people with clearly very high conviction after having put a lot of time and work into it, into questioning, is this truly going to scale and continue to be secure? Clearly the answer in their minds is yes. So what follows that is precisely what you're mentioning, right, Lynn, is kind of almost a disbelief, which in one way or another, they all expressed some version of, you know, I feel very fortunate, and to a certain extent, I still can't believe that others aren't seeing this and rushing into the opportunities that lie, you know, in this Bitcoin startup ecosystem.
Yeah, maybe it gets back to Vijay's point, you know, from our first conversation where he said we were just at that inflection point right now, where before, you know, it's Bitcoin 10,000x from its early days, that its potential to do that in the future is maybe a little bit less, but investing in companies that are building the foundation of the Bitcoin financial system is really where the opportunity lies. So maybe we just, maybe we're there early and they just identified this opportunity sooner than most investors in this space. So hopefully investors can learn from their wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, it is evolving just kind of naturally at its own pace, right? I mean, maybe now is the time that people view it as de-risked enough. There's some regulatory framework starting to develop. So yeah, I think you're right there, Lynn. So all of those episodes, highly recommend. Finally, we had episode 11 as well with Jose Lemos from Ibex. So that one as well is on the startup entrepreneur side. Jose is from Guatemala, so he gives maybe the Latin America perspective, both as an entrepreneur and as a business, because that, at least up until now, is where they're most focused on. And to be clear, they're also focused on this, you know, scaling side of Bitcoin on a layer two. And the main takeaway was the clear vision in the power, disruptive power, that real-time micropayments will have. And I think the vast majority of those actual practical use cases are still to be seen. But on the entrepreneurial side, you clearly have people with their own conviction and vision as to which path these real-time micropayments are going to take, and they're working on solutions for that, right? So Ibex is another example of that. Lynn, what were some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I maybe you and I are partial to companies that come out of LATAM because of our connections to this region. But Ibex is such an interesting company. They've raised $9 million so far in funding. So they're one of the successful and probably one of the more mature companies. And I know Jose, in talking with him, I spent some, you know, a bit of time. Jose was actually in Mexico City, so we got to do this interview in person. But he describes the Ibex as a fintech. And so I think that's a difference, in that he really looks at Ibex as being a financial technology company, but with the layers underneath that of Bitcoin and the Lightning Network in particular, and just in improving systems. And from his perspective, being from Guatemala, being from a country where, you know, payments were challenging, and running a business, he was an entrepreneur before, in how you operate when you're not in a privileged economy, and then just saying how this Bitcoin can fix us and can make this available in all regions of the world where the financial rails aren't as smooth as they might be in Western countries. And I know he's in Europe working with some projects over there right now. He's really looking at the entire global, probably global south, as as places that need the technology more so. But yeah, they have focused on LATAM market as kind of their first testing ground. So Jose, I think, has a really beautiful vision of all the different ways that this can not just make financial technology easier, but the different ways it might involve, to your point, micropayments. And with that, I mean, that just changes everything in terms of being able to have a platform that facilitates small payments even easier than large payments, and what that can do in remaking the financial system. And then talked a little bit about AI too, and how that plays into the Bitcoin and Lightning ecosystem. So it's a really interesting conversation, especially if you want to kind of get a perspective of how financial systems can change with this as a foundational layer.
And maybe broadly, that's also another theme that's maybe shining through, is that this Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, as a technology, it's still young, but clearly there's a lot of thought and work being put into how it's going to actually scale and be used in a peer-to-peer fashion going forward, right?
Yeah, I love these conversations because I think, you know, so often in the Bitcoin community or whatever, we hear about, you know, the price of the Bitcoin. You know, what is the price of the asset, and is it a store of value or medium exchange, and looking at macroeconomic topics. But when you really have the conversations like we've had the pleasure of having with some of these startup founders and the investors that support them, you know, you just rethink the perspective and you just get this bigger picture of Bitcoin as the as a technology, foundational technology, or really remaking the financial system, both from an investor standpoint and also just a user standpoint. So I find them exciting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, hopefully we were able to kind of distill what those were about. And, you know, that's precisely why we started Build with Bitcoin, was to kind of showcase what is being done with the technology itself, right? How are people using it, or how are people building businesses with it? So we have another, you know, great set of episodes there in these last five for all those interested. So maybe summarizing, Vijay, angel investor with a fascinating background, also being an early Google startup employee. Jeff Booth from Ego Death Capital. Jeff is an amazing thinker and author as well, and he gives some insight from the VC perspective, more so on the why he's deciding to dedicate his time, but they specifically invest in the seed and Series A stage. Then we have episode 9 with Jesse Schrader, Lightning startup. Episode 10 with Cantilever, they invest in entrepreneurs and they invest in fund managers themselves, so broad view of the space. And episode 11 with Jose Lemos from Ibex, also a startup Lightning company. So go back, take a listen to any of those you particularly find, you know, some interest in.
Yeah, looking ahead, we have some great interviews coming up. So we're already booked for the next couple of weeks. We've got some great programs coming up with founders and investors. And Israel and I will both be at Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville, and we'll be participating. We'll be at the pitch day. So we're hoping to find some interesting entrepreneurs that are pitching to investors in that particular day. That's on Thursday. But aside from that, we'll be around the conference. So if you're there, please reach out on the Build with Bitcoin X account and send us a message and let us know you'll be there. We'd love to get to know more people who are building with Bitcoin and the investors that are supporting them.